Hi, this is Jeff Siegel, the wine curmudgeon, and I'm at the San Diego International Wine Festival, and I'm talking to Patty Held, one of the pioneers of regional wine from Missouri, one of course my favorite regional wine states. Patty, thank you very much for doing this with me.
This is my pleasure. I love to talk about regional wines.
And we were very fortunate. One of the things that surprised me in judging the competition where you were a judge was that so many regional wines did so well. It was just not California wines.
Absolutely. And what's exciting is that when there are regional wines on a panel of judges, say, where there's two judges from California and one like myself, who's from the Midwest, it's exciting because they're interested in those varieties, and they're interested in my perspective and my interpretation of those wines. And it's exciting because they're very well accepted.
And that's actually surprises me as well, because when you talk to people in California about wine made out of California, they either don't know about it or don't want to know. But when you get them in a setting where they taste it, that really changes their mind.
Absolutely. And there's, of course, I'm from Missouri, and several of the grape varieties that are always, where judges are always excited about, of course, are Norton and Vignole. And those are the two, I would say, our two premier grape varieties in the state of Missouri.
Well, you said the magic word for me, which is Norton, and I have been an unabashed supporter of Norton for as long as I've been writing about wine. Why? And one of the things about Norton, without getting too technical, is that Norton grows in places without good weather. What makes Norton, to your mind, a wine that more people don't have a chance to appreciate? Why should they and why don't they?
Well, the interesting thing about Missouri and a lot of states in the Midwest is that our winters are so fluctuating. Not only are they, can they be very cold, but they can also warm up. So those fluctuating temperatures allow us not to be able to grow vinifer grapes like Cabernet and Merlot and Zinfandel and things like that. So we have to grow Native American grapes or European American hybrids. Well, Norton is a Native American grape, and it's turned out to be this wonderful grape variety that actually has a cult following in the Midwest, which is so exciting. It's one of the few red varieties that we can actually make into a really big style, a lot of black pepper and brambly blackberry flavors and aromas, and it can age in small cooperage for a year to 2 years, and then it can bottle age also for an extended period of time. So in our part of the country, people actually grasp on to something like that is so unique. And so Norton, in the last, I'm going to say last 5 years, really has developed this cult following, which is cool.
Why do you think consumers, is it just that we have to, consumers think it's got to be Cabernet or it's not any good? Is it a lack of marketing on people in the regional wine business? Or is it there's not an opportunity to sell more?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with that whole education factor, where a lot of consumers just are not familiar with hybrids or Native American grapes. But that's why in the Midwest so many wineries depend on getting consumers to our destinations. Almost, it's like a destination. The wine country needs to be a destination in the Midwest, so we can get those consumers to taste our wines. And then once they taste them, they realize that, yes, they are can stand up to a Cabernet or a Syrah or something of that nature. And once they're at the winery, then they taste them, they buy them, they go back home, they go to their local retail shop or their grocery store, and then, you know, purchase them there also. So it's all about education in the Midwest.
Talk to me a little bit about regional wine and whether you think it gets its fair shake in the wine press and the wine media. And because as we saw here today, there's some pretty terrific wines. Why don't more people know about regional wine?
Well, I'm a big believer in wine competitions, especially for those of us who are from the other part of the country.
The Midwest, other 49 states.
Yes, the Midwest and the East. And because I feel that, you know, opens eyes of writers that are judges on panels. And if a Norton or a Vignole get put up for best of show in the sweepstakes, that's huge. And we have done that year after year after year. So, you know, wineries need to enter wine competitions, I feel, especially from that part of the world, that country, so they can get writers to taste those wines. And then they need to promote the fact that they did win medals. because that's huge. Saying that you won a gold medal at the San Diego International Wine Competition says so much more than if you won a gold medal at the Missouri State Fair.
Right.
To a lot of consumers. So we just need to, in our part of the world, continue to enter wine competitions, send samples to writers, but that whole thing about entering competitions and then promoting the fact that you did well is huge for us.
The other thing that I've noticed, and I'm a huge fan of local wine and drink local wine, which I've just told you about and you're excited about, so that's good. Even people in Texas, when I say to them, we make some decent wine, some pretty good wine, some excellent wine in Texas, they look at me as if I'm crazy. Why do people have you solved that problem in Missouri, or is there still a problem in Missouri where people go, oh, we make wine here?
Of course, you're always going to have that problem. But what Missouri has done, which I think has been exciting, is in the last 4-5 years, I would say, we've started wine trails. Mm-hmm. And they've been very successful. Actually, the one I started in the Herman region, the Herman Wine Trail, has just been so successful, it's amazing. I've gone and spoke at many conferences about how to start a wine trail. Now Missouri has 5. And what's great about that is we tie wine and food together. So it's this wonderful food and wine experience in wine country at these beautiful wineries, because Missouri, of course, we have many, many, many historic wineries. And so we're getting consumers out, and we sell out. We sell 1,200 tickets per event to our wine trails, and people come back. They bring their friends. They stay overnight in the bed and breakfast. They eat at the restaurants. I mean, it's fabulous. So in this economy, we even had a wine trail event in February that we sold out.
Wow.
And what a lot of consumers said was, well, we don't have the money to travel far, but we can travel locally and, you know, try your wine, support your industry, and it's fabulous.
In terms of regional wine and getting respect from retailers, and I know this is something that I always tell people in Texas, and they look at me as if I'm crazy, but you can go into almost any store in Missouri and find Missouri wine. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten a lot better in Texas than it used to be years ago, but it's still difficult to go into some wine shops or liquor stores, and they'll still turn their nose up at Texas wine. What did you do different in Missouri? What makes it work there?
Well, you know,
or did you just kidnap the retailers and hold them hostage?
Of course, we kidnapped the retailers. But the unique thing about Missouri also is that, you know, the wine, the biggest sellers, of course, are Native American wines. Mm-hmm. Very fruity, very sweet. That's our number one sellers. I'm not familiar whether if Texas, and I don't believe you all have as many Native American varieties as we
no,
do.
No, we're still struggling with vinifera, but
right.
We think we see the light at the end of the tunnel. We
right.
think we see some vinifera that'll work that's not Cabernet, mm-hmm. Chardonnay.
Right. I mean, you have to find out what your consumers want. What do they want? Well, of course, we still make dry Nortons, dry Vidals, dry Chardonnays, but what we sell the most of course, are these sweet, fruity wines that there's this huge demand for. And, you know, I think you have to find out what your customers want and make sure you have something for everyone also.
Do you think that may be one of the problems that regional wine still doesn't get a whole lot of respect, is that it's still seen as it's sweet pink wine for little old ladies with cats?
Well, sure. That was, you know, our problem, I'm going to say 15 years ago. But we've been working out of that image. But true wine connoisseurs, of course, will look at our dry style wines and realize that, yes, we do know what we're doing. And we still have to make those sweet wines, though, for those, you know, for the big consumer section that wants those wines. Entry-level drinkers, millennials, believe it or not, millennials, oh my God, they're this fascinating market, because they will not only drink Native American sweet wines, but they will also drink dry wines like Norton, which is just astounding.
And let's not forget that there are all those tasting rooms in Branson that all the wineries do.
Right.
I guess if you have to have sweet wine for that, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely. You have to make, you know, it's a huge rule. You know, you really have to listen to your consumers. What do they want? But if you can do both, that's fantastic.
Well, listen, this is great. I appreciate you taking the time to do this. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
This is Jeff Siegel, the wine curmudgeon. May your glass always be full, and may you always enjoy who you're drinking with. Thanks a lot.